Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guest is Dr. Michelle Doucette. She has been studying human health and well-being for almost 40 years, and she is happy to report that she still has more questions than answers. The mysterious capacity of human beings to express life, to heal, to grow, awaken, and to evolve completely fascinates her. Using her hands, her heart, and her mind to facilitate healing is a true privilege, and she is grateful for every patient and every student she has the opportunity to work with. One of her strongest passions is teaching zero balancing to other healthcare providers and anyone who wants to learn about the power of conscious touch and energy medicine. She is currently on the faculty and the board chair of the Zero Balancing Health Association and teaches classes on the topic internationally. Dr. Doucette, welcome to SpondyCast. How are you today?
Thank you, Jill.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about zero balancing. And I would love to kick off with what is it and how does it differ from other body work?
Yeah, I could give you many answers to that. It really depends on, you know, who's asking the question, but I would say that zero balancing is body-mind therapy, or I like to call it a transformational touch therapy for reasons I'll explain. But it's definitely hands-on work. So it's a therapy provided by a healthcare provider. And it's very unique and profoundly effective. And it's focused on the bones and the joints of the body, maybe like chiropractic, but without a lot of quick manipulations. It's very gentle. And it helps people find comfort, peace, balance at the core of who they really are. So it's treatment for a person more than a disease or a condition, though it helps people manage and control sometimes and sometimes even heal their situations. It's different from other healthcare practices in that the zero balancer learns a very skilled and conscious type of touch to perceive how the tensions in the body are affecting a multidimensional person and how the tensions interact and inform who the whole person is. So we're touching both structure in the body and the energy. So the structure, of course, is the bones and the joints and the anatomy and what the person is made up of from a touch on the structural point of view, but also the energy, which could be described as what animates a body, the vibrations, the movement, the information that flows in the body, all the parts of a person that aren't, that we don't typically think of as touchable, but are very important to who we are, including our relational aspects, our emotions, thoughts, beliefs, our consciousness. So if we're touching the structural part of our body and the energetic part of our body and organizing those together, our experience is we're touching the whole person and allowing all the parts of a person to come into balance. And I think you could imagine how that might affect health.
I can definitely imagine.
We can talk about it.
Yeah, well, I think we should talk about it. So in terms of core principles, would you put it under energy work or body work or a combination?
Well, it's definitely unique in its combination. So I don't have to choose between energy and structure or body and energy. Some energy work is off the body and some body work doesn't touch the energy at all. But that's why I call it a transformational touch therapy. So it's unique in that way, in that it's addressing, it is energy work, but it's structural, hands-on, kind of manual therapy at the same time. So you'd have to put it in both categories or create a new one.
Okay. Any other like principles behind it? No, I think this is exciting.
Yeah. Some of the basic principles are so zero balancing really was born as a marriage of Western concepts of anatomy and physiology from the field of osteopathy and Eastern concepts of energy and healing from the field of acupuncture. So it's developed by a doctor who is an osteopath and an acupuncturist, and he wanted to put those two worlds together. And so in Chinese medicine, the bone, which is what we're mostly touching, bones and joints, is the deepest and densest tissue in the body. And so therefore it carries the deepest and strongest currents of energy and the most potential for transfer of information in the body. And also in Chinese medicine, the bone is related to the ancestral qi. What that means is that of a person, who they were before their life experiences said, you can do this, but you're not good at this. And you belong over here, but you don't belong over here. Or, you know, how we think about ourselves. So when you touch into the bone, you have an opportunity to touch into what we call of the person, their energy of conception, it would be said in Chinese medicine. So who they are at their core before their life experiences, you know, have them bring value to different parts of themselves. So that's a core foundational principle of zero balancing. And there are particular joints that we work on more specifically called foundational joints. And these are the joints in the body, like the spine, the sacroiliac joints that are affected by spondylitis. And these joints, their primary purpose is the transfer of energy. They're not the joints we walk with. You know, we walk with our knees and our ankles and our hips, right? The movable joints that have big movements, but the joints that have smaller movements and not as much voluntary control are the joints that transfer energy. So when we work on those joints, we help the body transfer energy and information. When I say energy, a lot of times I'm thinking information, the flow of the intelligence of the inner, you know, of the body, and we allow it to flow through the whole body. And because we don't have a lot of voluntary control over those joints, that's where a lot of the subconscious holding patterns in a person reside. So the benefit of zero balancing is that right to these places where some of the subconscious holding is, and we all have subconscious holding patterns. Our jaw is tight, our back is tight, our neck, you know, shoulders and so forth. Or we have subconscious holding patterns in our body, mind. I'm not good at singing, or I need to stay small. I shouldn't be seen. I should be seen and not heard. You know, all the things that we learn about ourselves are tension patterns, things that we believe that we may be able to let go of and be have a clearer flow and clearer sense and expression of who we are. So that's why we work on those particular, they're the big joints of the spine, the sacroiliac joint, and the feet, the skull.
That's so interesting.
And there's more, but I sense you have a question.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking of like my SI joint and like the transfer of energy and like, would you be talking in the realm of like, in that case, like a root chakra or like your like energy center? That's like your, the name is escaping me, right? I always think of like the energy centers that move up through your spine.
And your central channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I would say that zero balancing, you know, people ask, does it affect the chakras? Yes. And we have particular ideas about why that is and how energy flows. Zero balancing, the theory, the principles in the theory actually add a lot to the conversation of what energy work really is. And it brings together the energy and the kind of structural perspective from Western medicine. So if you're freeing up the sacroiliac joint, your kind of a side effect of that would be potentially clearing the first or second or third chakra, because you're allowing energy to move through a part of the body that is related to that chakra. Dr. Fritz Smith is the developer of zero balancing, And he had a unique idea, which is as energy moves up through the curves of the spine, since the spine is curved, that it's kind of like water moving along a stream. If water moves in a along a stream, it'll curve and there'll be an eddy on one side and there'll be a sandbar on the other side. And then it goes up and there'll be an eddy on the other side and a sandbar on the other side. So it's the movement of energy through a curved structure that's actually creating that chakra, if you will. It's creating the energy that flows in a circle like an eddy in a stream. We're not focused on chakras, but as a side effect of getting the energy to move in that area, we can perceive and learn to see the kind of psycho-emotional issues that might be related to a certain chakra do tend to change when we work in those areas that are related to those chakras. Does that make sense?
Totally. That's fascinating. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, when I meditate, like how I just like try to draw the energy straight up, and maybe I'm going to change to the river approach. So when you get a patient in front of you, and part of the process of releasing that energy, I'm assuming like with a spondyloarthritis or spondylitis patient might be like releasing the energy might release pain, or what other benefits would people with spondylitis get?
Yeah, when people have tension patterns, that's a way of saying there's energy held in that area, right? It's not free to flow. There's tension. When you have tension in the body, you don't have as much free flow. So when you release the tension patterns in the tissues, say the ligaments between the vertebral bodies, the bones in the spine, what happens is there can be a greater motion in that area if it's not completely ankylosed, you know, or fused together, certainly, but greater subtle motion, or not so subtle motion, because it also affects all the other tissues like the ligaments and the fascia and the muscles and connective tissue. When the spine is moving better, there's better neurological regulation through the central nervous system. So their movement, it decreases pain. When you have movement in the spine, you have like a feedback effect that's blocking some of the pain. So anything that's stiffened is going to be more painful in the spine. And so you're getting movement in there, some of the pain. You're bringing the body's awareness to that part of the body when things are stiffened and there's not a lot of energy flow. Sometimes there's not a lot of ability to feel that part of the body. And so we know in brain mapping that the more you feel a certain part of your body or have the experience of sensation in parts of your body, the larger area that maps to in your brain. So every part of your body has a part of the brain that's like paying attention to it, you know? So places that we touch a lot, like fingertips and lips that are very sensitive, the map of that part of the body is bigger in the brain. So there's more neurons going into that area. So we're more aware of it. So if you take a part of the body that's become stiffened or arthritic, and you start to get a little bit more movement, a little bit less pain, a little bit more like a friendly relationship with that area, the brain is going to understand it a little bit more. It's going to track what's happening. It's going to awaken it, literally kind of awaken in the nervous system that part of the body a little bit more. And so sometimes it usually leads to better movement, more comfort, but it can also lead to these patterns in the body mind, like a sense of freedom, a sense of relief. If you talk about the second chakra, it could be like relationships get a little easier. It's like, I'm not holding myself so stiff anymore. So I'm more open to, I mean, it's an analogy, metaphor, right? But the more open the body is, the more open the person is. And so they can find themselves more creative, having more relationships. And there's research behind this, subjective kind of questionnaires that show that people have relational ease and more comfort, better sleep. So that's just a few ways I could answer your question.
That's really interesting. So
Can you walk us through this? Is I'm going to take you just in the weeds for a second. I'm like trying to imagine what a session is like.
So the client, usually we have a talk about the frame or the intention for the session. So we want to, again, get from the person's own nervous system what the goal for the session is. And so sometimes that's better movement, pain relief, the ability to do their work, do their activities of daily living with grace and ease. And that kind of informs how we work with a person. And then we do a little seated evaluation that just takes a few moments, and the person lies down. They're fully clothed on a treatment table, like a massage table. And what it looks like is the person just lying there for 35, 40 minutes or so. And I'm moving through the body, addressing these foundational joints in a very gentle way. So I have my hands under the lower back from the lower ribs all the way down the back and into the sacroiliac. The working tool of zero balancing is called a fulcrum. So a fulcrum is a held field of tension. So I find evaluating through that part of the body, and I'm finding where there feels something feels out of balance, where the structure and energy aren't moving in concert with each other, and it feels like this discord in that area, or it feels unbalanced related to the rest of the body. And I pause there and put some pressure in. When I put that pressure in, again, the touch is very conscious and skilled. So there's a number of things I'm doing with that touch that makes it work. But that's called the fulcrum, and the person reorients around that fulcrum. So zero balancing is a way that a person's system in and of itself rebalances itself. I don't put energy in or take energy out. I just create the fulcrum, like if you had a log under a plank and it made it into a seesaw, right? It would change the
Right.
function of that plank as you put that fulcrum in. So when I put that fulcrum in, the person's nervous system reorganizes around that. It learns from that, like, oh, here, pay attention to this area and those neurological reorganizations, like I was mentioning before, start to occur. So I'm working through the lower back, and then I work into the hips. And so I pick up the leg, move the leg gently back and forth to evaluate how the energy is moving through the joint in a felt sense. It's a learned felt sense. It's not ethereal energy. It's like you can learn how to feel the energy. Kind of like you can feel if you put your hand on a faucet and you feel the cold, hard, metal, slippery surface. But then you turn the water on, then you can feel like vibration of the water moving through the faucet. You can feel movement or flow or temperature. So that's how you feel structure and energy at the same time. You're paying attention to both the bone and the quality of the vibration or movement or aliveness, if you will, of the bone. And so that's what I'm paying attention to when I'm evaluating, say, the hip joint. And then if I feel the hip has an imbalance, I put in a fulcrum into the hip. Then I move to the feet and I balance, evaluate and balance the feet. And I move to the upper body and evaluate all the ribs and the intervertebral joints, the neck, the skull, the shoulder girdle, so forth. So I go throughout the skeleton in these foundational joint areas and work to balance out the whole skeleton. For the client, what their experience is number one, the touch feels fantastic. When you touch both structure and energy, the bodies recognize that as like meaningful touch. They recognize it and they immediately go, not immediately, but they go into a meditative state or what we call an expanded state of consciousness. We've done some studies on this also. And we see that in zero balancing, people go into the higher brainwave state. So it's a meditative state. People usually close their eyes, and the brainwave states show more activity in the delta, gamma, theta brainwave states. So that feels really good to a person. It feels like going into an expanded state, being a little kind of like euphoric a lot of times. It's very comfortable. It feels fantastic. I always tell people when I'm referring them for zero balancing treatment, like, you're going to love this. People love it. It feels really good. And that's no small thing, Jill, because when something feels really good, there's a neurochemical cascade that happens from that in the body. Positive as far as serotonin, oxytocin, you know, the neurochemicals that have us connect and feel ourselves and feel sad and so forth. So it's a real, there's real chemical and neurological effects from that. So it feels super good to the person on the table. Usually sometimes it's a little hurt good, like, ooh, that's a spot, but it's like, yeah, no, it, that feels really good. And we're always paying attention to the client to make sure that they do feel good. So there's, we're looking for signs in their body. Both, I might ask them how they're doing, but usually I can tell that they're really relaxed. But also the nervous system is giving us signals that tell us how to move, you know, how quickly to move, or if we're reaching the person. So their breath will change. They often take really deep breaths. There's eye signs where the eyelids will flutter or the eyeballs will go back and forth like an REM sleep. There's little twitches that happen. There's all kinds of like belly gurgles that happen that that show that the parasympathetic nervous system, the part that is calmative and a healing state, is starting to come online more. So we're literally watching this happen and modulating our touch and our session as we're watching the client respond. So it's a dance between client and practitioner. It's really good. And it's very focused, careful, and connected.
That's amazing. I'm going to get Googling after we talk for my neighborhood. So from a pain and inflammatory perspective, I imagine that there are positive results. Can you talk a bit about those?
Yeah, well, I feel like kind of we already did to some degree. Zero balancing is not a treatment for any particular disease. I think you can probably get a sense of that from what I'm saying, because I'm finding the medicine in the body. I'm finding it in real time in the person, right? I'm finding the ease, and the natural developmental process of that person is telling me where to touch. So it's a little bit magic in that way, where it's touching into the mystery that is healing, because really we don't really understand how the body heals itself. The body always heals itself. We help, we create the right circumstances, we give medications that can help the body be able to do that, but the body is what it does the healing. And so I've treated people with, you know, conditions that I'm not going to change, like diffuse idiopathic skeletal hyperostosis, which is a form, it's a little bit like ankylosing spondylitis in that there's fusion of the spine that happens. And I change the fusion, but people feel better. They feel more themselves. They feel often more able to manage or cope limitations. But people that don't have frank fusion, then we're mobility in there. We're keeping movement in there. If someone has a progressive disease, you got to think that, and my experience is that anytime you have more movement and more connection of those neural circuits to that area of the body, there's going to be more flow of energy. And in the world of energy medicine, it's pretty well understood that where energy flows is more health. Where it's not flowing, there's going to be stagnation. Just look to nature. You know, is a swamp, there's going to be bacteria and fungi and everything growing in the swamp. Where there's the flow of energy, the life force and oxygen and everything is moving through the area, and it's going to keep it healthier. So that's somewhat theoretical, but it does prove itself out in the subjective, like, research studies that we've done when we ask people what the effect of zero balancing is on them. And that research is all on the Zero Balancing website, so that's accessible, and we can potentially link notes in your show to that if you
that'd be great. I'd love. Do you want to talk about a couple of like ahas from those, from the research and
from the research?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it goes across. One research study is called like the effect of zero balancing on the four dimensions of health: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And so what we find is across all those dimensions of health, that zero balancing has an effect. So it helps with physical comfort. It helps with sleep. It helps with mobility and movement. This is patients reporting what they feel after sessions. It helps with cognition, like figuring numbers and mental clarity. It creates relational ease. So often in my practice, zero balance, someone's, they go home and they, you know, come back for their next session and they said, oh, I think I'm going to send my husband in, because anyway, he says I should keep coming because everything's better at home when I'm getting zero balance, because people feel better and they're more themselves and their relations get better. It happens all the time. People report that all the time. So relational ease, resilience, emotional resilience, like the ability to come back to center after something's been upsetting. That is definitely one of the things that people find. We find that, I'm trying to think of the different type. Oh, there's a new study now being done about anxiety with very positive, it's not quite published yet almost, but the effect of, on anxiety in zero balancing is marked, and depression too, I would say. The study isn't about depression, it's specifically about anxiety, but there are very positive effects there. So you can imagine people with, you know, chronic illness and being diagnosed with a chronic illness, it's anxiety producing. You might not understand like what the progression is going to be or how you're going to continue to do the work you want to do. There's some unknowns there about what makes it better and worse or what the cause is. And so just the anxiety part of any kind of chronic illness would point me to referring someone to zero balance.
So how did you get into it? Like it's fascinating. I can't, like I said earlier, I can't believe I've never heard of it. I'm like trying it. I am always like doing whatever I can find that's natural. Was it something that, like, mm-hmm. personally for you that led you down the road, or was it trying to solve a patient problem?
It's kind of a funny story. Sometimes you find, you know, when the student's ready, they'll find their teacher, right? So, yeah. I met a physical therapist in my town and kindred spirit. And she just said, we should go take a class together. We'll get some continuing education credits. Let's go to Boston. We'll go shopping. We'll go out to dinner. I said, that sounds like fun. Let's go. And so we looked at both of our worlds, of, you know, where we might find continuing education courses that we were interested in. And it happened, there was a zero balancing course in Cambridge in Boston. At that time, and she said, I've heard through my work, she's a craniosacral therapist, that zero balancing was very effective. And I had heard through the chiropractic world, I'm a chiropractor, that zero balancing was one of the things that really gave you a sense of like how you knew you were helping someone. So there was a feedback system that was like your check system that could show you that you were actually doing something. I'm kind of a scientist. My background, I have a degree in biochemistry, degree in chiropractic medicine. And I'm a spiritual person, but at the base of who I am, it's like, if I'm going to tell somebody to take something or try something, I want to have some kind of evidence. I want to be able to say, this is good for you, either from my experience, that's, you know, a clear conviction, or from some evidence. And so when I heard that zero balance had this feedback system that could tell if you were really helping someone, I thought, well, I'll give it a try. So we went and we took the class, and it was in that first class. So I really wasn't going to take zero balance. You know what I mean? I was just like going to go with my friend. But in that class, I heard this concept of the energy of the bone being related in Chinese medicine to the essence of a person. And as a chiropractor, I was already doing some of these things. I was already interested in, you know, like, what is energy work? And who are these people that are bones, but they're also the animating force that's moving through the skeleton? It's not just the structure that makes up a person. There's people, there's emotions and beliefs, and all these different expressions of human life. And what does that mean? What part does that play in healing? And in that first class, I heard that when you clear the energy patterns in the bones, you help a person feel more connected to the essence of who they really are. And something in me said yes, like completely, yeah, like yes, all the way in, yes, I'm just going to learn more about this. And it has been a journey of complete joy and satisfaction. I am the person I am today because of zero balancing. My children are the people today because of zero balancing. It has affected my whole life. Not because I had physical illness, although it did help me, what I think of as curing an autoimmune disease, but because the principles of touch and the principles of how we relate to individual people, whether they have disease or not, are the principles of life, are the principles of how the Tao moves through the world, of how the world works. And when you study how through structure, you're studying the very stuff of life. You're studying how human beings work and how human minds and emotions work. So I've just become more and more myself, more and more satisfied and fulfilled in my life. I've created life that I want, and I'm helping a lot of people every day in my little small town in Vermont, but I have a busy practice, and I just teach as much as I possibly can, because I just want to share what I found with this work.
I love the way you got into all of this. I think it's really amazing. And I would be curious, it sounds like it was really transformative for you. And as you, I'm trying to articulate this better than I am. I'm super interested in like the clearing of some of this, like in the large joints. I've never thought of the energy movement going through the bones before. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, any thoughts there?
Well, like in the joints, you have connective tissue between bone and bone. You have the bone itself, which transfers energy. We know that, you know, when astronauts go into space, right, they lose bone mass. When there's no pressure on the bones become lighter or less dense. And when there's a lot of pressure, the bones become denser. So we have to, you know, you could ask yourself in people with spondylitis, is there too much pressure in the system? Does that play a role? Is it all inflammatory? Could part of it be too much pressure from mechanical strain or the lack of movement that's creating forces that don't move through that area normally? And could the movement of forces through that area create more ease for that person or less pain for that person? So then you have ligaments which connect the bone to the bone. So the ligaments are the connectors across the joint. And all these tissues, bone, fascia, ligaments, tendons, muscles, they all have collagen. They're all made of collagen. Collagen is crystalline in nature. That's the physical structure is crystalline. And when you have a crystalline structure and you put pressure on it, you get an electrical flow. So that's called piezoelectricity. And it's also true of collagen that when you put pressure on it, you get a superconductive flow, which is more has to do with hydrogen bonds in the body. So it's science that, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, energy work is all like, oh, just wave your hands over the body and it's going to get better, you know. But as a scientist myself, I like to dig into the science of it. And so what's happening with conscious skilled touch, when you know where to touch and how to touch such that the person can really let go and let go of their own tension patterns, scientific principle tells us that that means energy is flowing in that area. And where energy flows, there's more health because there's more information. There's more, you know, modulation in the immune system. There's more intelligence connecting to intelligence in the body.
Right. And no, I think it's really interesting. I recently met a woman who is in startup world, but she has an algorithm that you can, through a wearable, you can detect like emotion, magnitude of emotion, vibration, and frequency. And this is where I think we all like, this is, I think this is going to be one of the most transformative types of technology going forward to understand, mm-hmm. like, if I'm experiencing something, what is the magnitude of the emotion in my experience? What is that doing to me as a human being, right? Because we all vibrate. Mm-hmm. Everything has a vibration and a frequency. And I used to think, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, I used to think like all this stuff is like woo-woo. And I know that, yeah, like when I'm going off the rails, I go spend 2 hours a day meditating to like try and raise my frequency. And I think it's really where we have to go. I think there's so many answers to our bodies in this area of the energy inside of us. This is why I'm fascinated, because I think we're only at the beginning of understanding a lot of this in Western society. And I think we can implement it in Eastern.
Yeah. I love the East. I love Chinese medicine and Eastern philosophies. They're more lyrical. They're more life oriented. But if you look at them, they make so much sense because they're based on the principles of nature. If you want to understand nature, look at how water moves. We are nature. We are water. Like, we move the same way, you know, like the same principles. And so this is what I love about zero balancing, is that it's a practice that has these principles behind it that make sense out of life. And it makes sense out of how I can often see the pattern of how people get ill based on like limiting beliefs or where I find the tensions in their body. And I'm excited about it. And that technology sounds amazing. And I have two things to say about that. One is that I'm excited about zero balancing because that technology is just coming online, but zero balancing has been around for like almost 40 years, maybe going on 50 years. And we're learning, those of us who practice this work are learning about that technology that is our body. Like, our body can feel all of that. Our body can learn all of that. And it's new, and it's edgy. It's like we're in the mystery a little bit, but the human body can learn all of that. Technology is always based on what the body can do. If you look back in history, I have a whole lecture on how technology is mimics what the human body can do. Just take the idea of that superconductivity. You know, this microprocessor that allowed the whole internet and the whole computer age didn't get invented until like the 1950s or something like that. And now it's just in the last like decade that someone's come out and said, oh, well, the connective tissue of the body is superconductive. Like, so we created printing presses based on the human body. We created radios based on this idea of piezoelectricity. We created the whole computer age based on the principle that is our body. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we are superconductive. So I feel like our technology is always mimicking who we are. So the really smart use of technology will be informed by the human experience. And when we look into the future at things like AI, and it's almost funny to me because I can see the benefit, I can see the pitfalls of these technologies, but it's funny to me that we have to put it outside of ourselves, turn it around, right, put a face on it and say, oh, look at that. Isn't that amazing? When the human body can learn to do that. And what happens if the human body, if we all learn to do that and we all evolve into understanding more about what our bodies can actually do and how they actually heal, I think would be a healthier society and would be an evolved society that probably could help the earth be healthy as well. So I so agree with you, Jill. It's so important and it's where we're going, and we can do it through technology. I think on the other side, the what will balance that is to realize that it's who we are, and that we can learn it inside our own bodies and to come home to ourselves, to heal in ourselves, because every body that feels better is more available for the body next to it. It's more available to love, is more available to dance, is more available to care. And it's nothing short of human evolution is why I do the work I do. I think of it as human evolution, one spine at a time.
That's, yeah, it's amazing. So how often, back to like a little bit of tactical, like, so someone as a patient, is it an ongoing treatment, or do people come and go? And I'm assuming they'll, between sessions, maybe supplement with different practices.
Yeah, it depends on the person, right? And it depends on the situation. I can, you know, there are some people who have episodic issues with spondylitis or any other health, you know, chronic health condition, and they may come in more when something's in a flare and they're having more symptoms. Or a lot of people do come in for zero balancing about once a month, because, and they self-select that, you know, I don't prescribe that. That's their supportive wellness care. And they choose it because they know they have a body felt experience of what it's doing for them. It helps them feel better on all those dimensions of health that we talked about, or some, you know, some combination of them. So I usually try to get people to decide for themselves what feels right for them, but it is common for it to be supportive to someone with chronic illness. In that way, it could be ongoing. Sometimes I just say, try a session. If it's really not for you, you'll know, because you'll have a body felt sense of it. Then I'll say, well, try three sessions, because each session can be very different. Sometimes a person will present with, you know, this, they get like clarity out of the session and physical relaxation. The next time it might be some emotional release that can happen. That's an energetic release. The other time they get a big insight about their condition or about their position in life or their relationships. And so it, because it works on all those different levels, three sessions can be a real average that shows someone kind of, this is where I was, and this is where potentially I can be, this is the territory that I can be moving into. And then if people still want to do more after that, they'll, you know, they'll choose some kind of treatment frequency that, or care frequency that, that feels appropriate to them. Some remember those three sessions, and so I don't see them for maybe a year, and then they'll be like, I want the three sessions. They want the packet, the bigger experience, and then they feel good. Depends on how their life is, how clear they are, the inner work they're doing as far as diet, exercise, meditation, that kind of thing. But those are the things that I recommend between sessions. To know oneself, to connect to oneself, is a big part of staying healthy. So meditation is, you know, some kind of meditation or inner spiritual practice, exercise that feels good, you know, water, clean living, just honesty and curiosity goes a long way too.
Yeah. And I think I called it like, and you were talking about like the coming back, it's like you need the tune up at some point. A couple of questions. I know our time is running out. Is there anyone you would recommend not doing zero balancing?
Yeah. You know, someone that's just had surgery, the idea would be to let the surgery heal, let the body do what it knows how to do to heal a wound or a surgery or a fracture. And then after 6 weeks or so, you could work on a person. In the case of something like ankylosing spondylitis, you can work on those people, because it's not highly manipulative. You know, it's not stressful to the body. When someone's in an acute situation, zero balancing can be effective. But if someone has a, you know, severe inflammation or something that's really acute and they have a hard time lying on the table, I might not choose zero balancing. If someone has a mental health issue that could be a crisis, like unmedicated bipolar disorder or psychoses, and we can't really connect to the person reliably, then zero balancing isn't my treatment of choice for them. Most people, zero balancing is safe and effective, but there are conditions where we make decisions how to modify or shift a session in order to meet a person. It's very informed and very intelligent work.
I love that. Okay, so as we are kind of wrapping up, where can people find information if they are interested in zero balancing?
Yeah, well, one place is my website, drmichelledoucette.com. And I have blog posts about, you know, philosophizing in this way, as I do, about the work and why I appreciate it so much and what it does for people, as well as some videos, some links to the research videos, and some of the research findings. And also that includes some of my classes. And then the Zero Balancing Health Association is zerobalancing.com. And that's an extensive website that you can find out more about the principles and the practice of zero balancing. You can see a video of the developer of the work, Dr. Smith, giving a session, a little sample of what it looks like. There's both in the research video and on my website, there's testimonials from people. So those are the two main places, zerobalancing.com and drmichelledoucette.com. There's also an international organization that's kind of an umbrella organization, and it's the Zero Balancing Touch Foundation. It's a nonprofit arm of our interest in the world, and that's zbtouch.org.
zbtouch.org. Okay. I found a couple of those already. Well, I guess in our, as we wrap up, first, thank you. This has been wonderful and really like informative about something new that I think is a useful tool. Any final thoughts or anything we missed of importance?
If you're interested in what it can do for you, find a practitioner and have a session, because it's a body felt experience. And all of these words are an approach to what it is, but the body felt sense, it's medicine in real time. It's happening as the hands are on your body. And so there's no way to really describe that fully, because it's different for every person. And that's really the best way to know what it will do for you and stay open and curious. And I would say for people suffering from spondylitis, my advice is to stay curious, you know, just keep asking questions about who you are and how you can express yourself differently. And what are the little and big things that you might do that could open new possibilities for your nervous system, that opens new possibilities for your immune system, that opens new possibilities for the inflammatory nature of any disease. And I firmly believe that every person can heal. I don't know how it all works, and I don't know how to do it, but that's what I love about this work, is the mystery of it. And that if I keep studying it, I'm going to move myself along that journey. And if I move along, everybody moves along with me, you know? So I just want more people to know about it and more people to experience it, more people to practice it. And you can search on the Zero Balancing website. You can do a practitioner search by city or by radius and find someone hopefully close to you. And that's the best thing to do if you want to know what it is.
I love that. And I love the curiosity piece of advice. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Doucette. I almost said it wrong. It has been a pleasure. And I hope that we get some feedback on people if they've head out and try this after listening to this episode.
Yeah. Or if they've already tried it and they want to pipe in and see if it's been helping them, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie.
Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.